habit can be beneficial. Would you believe that? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Habit can be beneficial. How can habit be beneficial? Habits are usually thought about as something that are not really too beneficial to us, too helpful to us. They are something that we take on ourselves, and as we take them on ourselves, they sort of take over certain areas of our life, and we no longer think about it, we no longer make judgments on it, we no longer have an attitude about it, we just do it. Now, people have an attitude of putting their hand on top of their head. Now, this is a habit, and it's not necessary. Now, if you are around bugs and things and the spider webs and they get in your hair, you have a habit to put your hand up on your head to wipe them away and to clear them away. Not that they are bothersome at all, it's just that they're there and you don't want them there. And you put your hand up and move the critters or move the spider web away. Now, other habits can be that, like a dog. A dog will lick on its forepaw because it has something there that it doesn't want. And it will lick on its forepaw and it'll keep licking. And then all of a sudden, it will be licking and licking and licking on its forepaw until the skin is bare of hair and the dog is doing itself a disservice. And so you put something on there to discourage that habit. You put some sort of fluid on there that makes it taste not pleasant. And so the dog stops licking his forepaw. Not that he had to lick his forepaw. It became a habit. First, he licked off some bug or some seed that was clinging to his foot, and then he kept on licking because it became a habit. Habits can be beneficial to us. When we're driving our car, we have the habit of getting in the car and looking around the car before we get in, like a pilot does on an airplane, to make sure that the wheels are all with the correct air of tires, because you can see that with your eye. And you look around your car, and you see that all the wheels are on there. And you see that everything is in order. And you see that there are no children's toys sitting behind the car that you would miss and drive over. And that everything is in order. Well, now, that can be an instantaneous observation. It doesn't take a long time to do a walk around of your automobile, but we don't do it. We have so gotten out of the habit of doing it because conditions did not call for it, or every time we walked around, everything was okay. So after a while, we stopped walking around our car. And then that one time that a child's toy appeared behind our car, or that one time because something happened and something dropped or something rolled out of the garage under the wheel of the car, we drove over it. You see, walking around can be beneficial. Pilots of airplanes must do that. They must do that, walk around their plane. They must check their plane thoroughly to see that the wings are on it, to see that the propeller is on it, to see that the wheels are on it, to see that everything is in order. Because the plane has been standing out, usually in a field, in a tie-down area, among other planes, and weeds can blow onto the field from different distant places, and they can get caught up into the superstructure of the plane. And if you have landing gear on your plane, if you have retractable landing gear on your plane, it can get up into that housing area and can cause you discomfort when you try to bring up your wheels. And you may have to fly with your wheels down, which is changing your habit. If you have to fly with your wheels down, you have to remember that your wheels are down and that you don't try to put them down because you may be putting them up. And you may be causing yourself a problem. Habits can be very beneficial if we use them properly. And if we do not become habituated by that, like Rex, like a dog perhaps, I say my dog Rex, like a dog who is licking on his paw. Now, how can we train ourselves to have habits that will be beneficial to ourselves? Now, I know lots of people who come for counseling. They come by mail, they come by email, they come by telephone, they come in person, and they come and they sit at my desk, they sit in my office, they sit at my living room or wherever we happen to meet, even at the restaurant, wherever we might go, and they say, "I got a problem." And I say, "You sure have. And that problem is going to be with you forever." "What? You're supposed to tell me I don't have a problem. You're supposed to tell me I'm home perfect. You're supposed..." No, I'm not supposed to do anything at all. You are coming to me because you would like some suggestions on how to live a more positive life with more positive results in your life. Is that correct? Yes. You want to be whole and perfect? Yes. You want all these good things? Yes. Okay, well, I can't do a thing about it. What do you mean you can't? Well, I'm not going to lay on of hands. Jesus didn't lay on of hands. Nobody lays on of hands to heal anybody, even though sometimes we think that it does happen. The individual involved has to make the decision that I'm changing my habit about myself, I'm changing my attitude about myself, and I'm changing my thought that I think that brings about the condition I have. Okay. Now you say, "I am a very unhappy person. Nobody wants to be with me. I'm an unhappy person. My body has these illnesses. My body has these conditions. I'm an unhappy person. I can't seem to make a dollar. I can't seem to hold on to money. I can't seem to be abundant. I can't seem to be rich. I'm always having problems with my health." So I say to you, "Well, good. How long do you want to keep on doing that?" "Oh, Dr. Byrd, you are so irascible. What is wrong with you? Why are you so unfriendly? Why are you so..." Yes, you don't understand me. You have no compassion for me. You have no compassion for me. Oh, my friend. Oh, my friend. I have compassion for you. But I have compassion for you as I see you enjoying what you want to enjoy. You want me to feel sorry for you for your illness? Or you want me to feel sorry for you because you're so rich you can't think of enough ways to spend it? Bill Gates has to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars in a certain given period that he and his wife have established for themselves. And those poor dears, they have to spend this money in that time. Well, are they going to die if they don't? Is the world going to come to an end if they don't? Is everything going to be negative if they don't? My goodness, you say to yourself, "I'd like to have a problem like that." Well, okay. Put yourself in their shoes. Have a problem like that. They have a problem of spending that money in a given time. Why don't you set a problem for yourself of doing something in a given time? Let's say you would like to enjoy better health. All right? So you associate yourself with people who have good health. You associate yourself with ideas of good health. You associate and build habits in yourself that are beneficial to yourself in having good health. And so you say, "I like me. I have a wonderful body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body." Well, now all that is good, and all that is very good. But recently, I've been cutting down on the habit. I've been cutting down on the habit of many, many affirmations because it's helpful, it's good. And it does cause our mind to think in that direction. But I sort of narrowed it down to one habit that I like to use for myself. And it's a habit that brings me enjoyment. It brings me abundance. It brings me health. It brings me love. It brings me peace. It brings me all that I could ever desire. It brings me every good thing. It's beneficial to me. And that habit is this. I say I like me. Now, when I say I like me, I cannot not like me. When I say I like me, I cannot fit into that habit of mine that I don't like me. When I say I like me, I cannot say I'm not healthy, I'm not wealthy, I'm not happy. I cannot say things that are contrary to that habit. Or I'm putting another habit in motion. I'm putting another condition in motion in my life, which I don't really want. Now, how am I going to handle that? How am I going to bring that about in my life? How am I going to have a habit that can be beneficial for me? I want Bill Gates' problem of having to spend money. Now, Bill Gates doesn't have to spend it. He has merely given himself that parameter of his thinking, that attitude of his thinking, that he wants to do that in a given time. Now, I choose to be healthy by the time I am 25, by the time I'm 35, by the time I'm 95, by the time I'm 105, whatever. We like to say now, okay? If Bill Gates and his wife Melinda would say to themselves, we are so blessed. We have chosen to be a philanthropic fund and giving money to worthwhile organizations that we feel are beneficial to the world. They're not giving money away. What they're doing is they're looking for beneficial philanthropic organizations, beneficial organizations to whom they can give their money. They're looking for organizations that are seeking to give betterment to the world, to improve the environment, to improve the health of underprivileged countries and third world countries. And they're interested in... Now, if Bill Gates were to take, say, $1 billion, isn't that a nice number? If Bill Gates were to take $1 billion and make it a habit and build up a group of people, a think tank of people, you know, in the think tank, that's where the work is done, in their thought system. If they build up a think tank of people, and these people would say, there now is peace on earth. Wow. They would cause such a experience for the planet Earth, for the world, that everyone would be harmonious, everyone would be balanced, everyone would love themselves, everyone would love their neighbor, everyone would love the world, everyone would love their environment in every beautiful way. Everyone would do all things that would not only preserve their environment, but that would make their environment useful and beneficial to themselves and everybody else. Open up your newspaper and you read about peace. Well, you don't really read about peace. You just read about people who are doing beautiful things that make them happy. And it does not include war. It does not include conflict. It does not include unbalance. It includes a very wonderful balance. Yes. Wouldn't that be a lovely habit to have? If Bill Gates were to take $1 billion here and $1 billion there of his 55, 75, $105 billion that he has, he's got loads. And if he'd take that and he would build up a cadre of people who had as their responsibility to affirm there now is peace, nothing more. They don't do anything. They don't get out and make peace. They don't get out and touch people's lives. They don't get out and help the poor people. Because when there is peace on earth, there is harmony and balance on earth. And everyone has enough to eat. Everyone has enough to make their life pleasant. Everyone has abundance. Everyone is enjoying living on this planet Earth and in being involved in all the wonderful adventures of planet Earth, which do not include conflict, which do not include war. Well, you say, well, conflict makes it interesting. Movies wouldn't be interesting if you didn't have a conflict in them. A life wouldn't be interesting if you didn't have a conflict in them. Really? Where'd you get that idea? Who taught you that? Who brought that into your consciousness? Where did that habit come that your thinking says that without conflict, life wouldn't have any adventure or any interest in it. Yeah, that's what we say to ourselves, don't we? We say that to ourselves. We want the conflict. Oh, and we want to tell people how we've overcome a conflict. We want to tell people how we have become balanced after a bad conflict. You know, they say there are more crazy people, more insane people outside of the crazy house than there is in the crazy house. And the reason for that is people outside of the insane asylum are by the billions doing their own thing and having fun. And people inside of the asylum are there because they're doing their own thing and having fun, and the people in their environment don't like what their thing is. And that's all that there's to it. They just have different habits that they have built up into their thinking system, and they're in, they think that's what it is. Now, a scientist comes along and says to you, all time and space are right now. Well, now that guy is full of beans and he's crazy and he is just out of focus with reality. Look at all the watches we have, and look at all the roads we have and the highways we have, and look at the distance between planets, and look at time and space. Look at it. It exists. But scientists want to get us down to the infinitesimal idea that there is no time or space. And they're not getting you to say, get rid of it. They're just saying, all time and space is here and now. Well, now, if they weren't scientists, we would call them crazy. We'd put them away for their own protection, for thinking thoughts that are going to be not beneficial to themselves. Would that we were all scientists. And nobody would think that we were balmy, that we were crazy, that we had strange ideas. And so it is. Now, I look at my dog. We go for walks. We walk around our 104 acres here on the mountains of Southern California. And we just have the most wonderful time. Well, as we're walking along, Rex will stop. My beautiful golden retriever will stop dead in his tracks. And he'll point his nose to a direction, and he'll look. And his ears are sort of up a little bit, and his nose is up, and he's looking. And he's very diligent about looking at that one direction. And I say to him, Rex, what do you see? What do you smell? What do you know? Well, we haven't learned how to communicate for him to say, I see a rabbit over there behind the bush. Or I see a coyote out there. I see a bear. I see some people walking along. They're way over the edge of the hill there, but you can't see them, and they're going along a path over there, and they're not supposed to be there. And I say, Rex, everything is okay. We put everything and everybody in our world in balance. We put everything and everybody and what they're doing in harmony with all that is good and beautiful. And Rex looks up at me with big brown eyes, and he says, Dad, are you sure about that? And I say, Rex, I'm sure about that. All of my world is in divine order right now. And he says, well, Dad, if you tell me that, it goes against my instincts. It goes against what I have been created to be with my nose and my eyes and my ears and my whole body. I sense that there's something with trouble. But, okay, Dad, they are not trouble for us. They're not a problem for us. I will not have them in my environment. I will not have them in my thought. I will let my habit rest. And I will go about my business and be a happy puppy. And I say, Rex, you're wonderful. Oh, Rex, you are so wonderful. And I swoon over him, and he sort of snuggles into my arms, and he loves it when I rub his chest and when I stroke his back. He thinks, oh, the life is wonderful. And he says, Dad, if you're in charge, then that's fine. I'll still warn you now and then when I smell something or see something or feel something that might be inharmonious to me. And then you can stroke me and put everything into divine order. You can The habit of stroking Rex makes him melt. It makes me melt, too. But the habit of loving Rex makes him not have any thoughts contrary to what is good and beautiful. He might have a urm, and he might make a little noise or make a little, because his traditional habits, the instincts that he have, are always there. They haven't been washed away by changing the habit and by petting. They're there, but he's learned not to give them any attention. We can learn not to give war any attention in our world by taking our habit of wanting excitement in our world to be something that is what leads us on and guides us into a more remarkable life. We can change our habits, put new habits in motion. Doesn't mean the old habit goes away, like Rex, his instinct is still there. But that instinct is no longer overpowering and overwhelming and taking charge of his actions and his conduct. Habits can be beneficial, but I have to choose which habit I want. Am I going to let my instinct guide me when my instinct tells me there might be problems? Or am I going to let my instinct guide me and say, time for me to say, I like me. Time for me to say, all is in divine order. Time for me to bring balance into my world. Time for me to decide that having to spend billions of dollars, as Bill Gates and Melinda Gates have set up for themselves, is not a problem. It's just a condition of fact that they're doing. And they don't tell you that in their philanthropy, they have so much money. And they have so much money that that money is making so much money that by the time comes that they've set to be done with spending their money, they're going to have the same amount of money again, even though they've spent it all, because it keeps growing and growing and growing, because they have continued the habit of investing that money as they have, and the money grows and grows and grows. We know how the stock market can be in a period of very few weeks or months or years. People who invested in Apple back in the days of Apple are now billionaires, millionaires, all of them, all of them. And all they did was have investment in Apple in its early stages. And as Apple grew, so did their value, so did their investment, so did their return on their investment, their return on the habit they had of keeping their money in the Apple stock. Some stocks go up and down. Apple went up and down. Apple went through some pretty tough things when its master was out of business for a while, but it got back again. And it got back again as soon as new ideas came in to bring about new investment, new money funds for it. You can learn how habit can be beneficial to you by deciding what it is that turns you on in this life. Does turning you on being happy? Are you turned on when you're happy? Are you turned on when you're healthy? Are you turned on when you're wealthy? Are you turned on when you like yourself? Oh my. We can all wrap it up into one single package, as we seem to talk about every day, into the package of I like me. And that package brings such great results and such happy results for us, because it's an image that we have for ourselves. Are you the king or queen? Are you the boss or slave? Are you the commoner or are you the royalty? Are you the person who is in charge or are you the person who is charged? All areas are perfectly okay. Some people don't want to be in charge of a business. They'd rather work for the business. Okay, then you have an excellent position in that business where you have no responsibility except to do the task that is given to you. And that's a responsibility. The task may be secretary or janitor. The past may be engineer or scientist. The past may be a worker who builds things and puts screws on cars and so forth. But no matter what it is, if you do it with "I like me" in your heart, you will be very successful. You will have a happy home. You'll have a happy wife or husband. You'll have happy children. You'll have happy relatives. You'll have happy neighbors. You'll have a happy city you live in, and a happy country you live in, and a happy nation you live in, and a happy world that you live in. And you will be a happy person because you like yourself. And all because you like yourself, and all because you affirmed that you like yourself, all because you developed the habit within yourself that you liked yourself, all because you did it, your world is wonderful. And right now. You're not going to wait to any preset date in the future. You're not going to look at the past and say at some point you blew it. You're going to look at yourself right now, and you're going to live in your consciousness, in the wholeness of the purity, of the goodness that you're doing right now, of the magnificent being that you are right now, of the fabulous person that you are right now, of the ideal man, woman, child, of the ideal that you are. And you don't even know what the ideal is. I don't either. But I know it's good. And I know it's what I am. And I know my original purity and integrity is my idealness, and I am that right now. And I have a habit that's beneficial for me, and that habit is saying, "I like me, I like me, I like me." Not "I love me," because everybody loves himself. Everybody loves others. You have to do that. You have to do that or you wouldn't exist. You wouldn't live at all. But to like yourself just the way you are, you like yourself with the things you're doing, and not to judge yourself and not to say, "I want to be better," or "I want to change," but just to like yourself. "Oh, I enjoy being in me. I enjoy having this body. I enjoy," but "you're crippled. You're this and that." Hey, knock it off. I don't see myself as a cripple. I see myself as a person who can go and do anything I want to do. I see my person surrounded by all that is good and beautiful. I see myself as everybody looks at me and says, "Wow, what a person that is. What a wonderful being that is. What a noble being that is. What a glorious being that is." And others might look at that same person and see the problem. And you and I, we look at ourselves and we see our reality. We see where our original purity and integrity, we see our divinity, we see the magic being that we are right now by our choice, by our attitude, by our choice, by our habits that say to us, "My, isn't this a wonderful," and forget that "isn't this," "My, this is a wonderful world. My, this is a beautiful life. I am glorious. I am fabulous. I like me. I like my world. I like all that is. Because essentially I created all that is. But I had the habit of thinking I didn't. And so now I put that habit into motion, realizing I create by my thought every experience of my life, every attitude of my life, every incident in my life, and all is good and very good. And I like me, I like me, I like me. My habit is beneficial. Your habit is beneficial. And it's all a matter of your choice right now. Yeah. And I think that my choice right now is so beautiful, so wonderful, so glorious. I love it, I love it, I love it. And it's great, it's great, it's great. And I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you.